everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Welcome to Harmontown. Happy Sunday. Once again, Harmontown is in session. I'm back, Jeff Davis, your comptroller. Won't you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. No more wire hangers, you guys. We watched Mommy Dearest today in bed. Aaron and I did, and it wasn't. We weren't doing it thematically. We've been on this Joan Crawford kick, and we just happened to be. Allison, she turned to me. We're watching Mommy Dearest on Mother's Day, but that's a good one to watch on any day. It's pretty.
I think about that movie a lot, mostly because I want her bathroom from that first scene with all the shower nozzles.
I want a lot of that house. Yeah,
that house is really good.
I was fascinated watching it. It made me remember because that was like when I was a kid. I remember, America was fascinated with that movie. My mom really liked that movie. She was into it. She'd quote it a lot. She'd joke like, "No more wire hangers." Like when she would find herself getting hysterical, she'd self-efface by saying stuff like that. But also, she would do so much from the movie. And I was like, did she get the idea from the movie, or was she, or did the movie make her feel better by, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't use a whole can of Comet Cleanser. I just wanted her to clean the bathroom a little bit. I don't know. Happy Mother's Day. My mom, I called my mom today, as you all did, and
we did.
Or did you?
Yeah.
Anybody not call their mom today?
You weren't making the joke that Goldberg was making. He called out, yeah, we did. Called my mom, get it? He fucked my mom.
Oh, okay. Well, payback is fair, right?
So yeah, sure. No.
You've been fucking everyone's mamas for a long time now.
Yeah. I called her, and I got great news. She loves season 4 of Community. She loved it. She's very happy with it. She was quoting episodes. She's got a. And then I said, yeah, we should come. We should get together sometime. And she went, yeah, cool. Oh, sorry. And I just laughed about it. I was like, you're sorry about that? What, I don't understand. So it registers in your brain that there's that's an issue socially, but you just cooled for 10 minutes about the thing. And then I was on speakerphone because my dad was in the room, so then she did a classic Harmon move. She was like, what? Huh? What? I don't understand what you're saying. And I was like, never mind. What was your question? She's like, question? It's not an inquisition. And I was like, I'm sorry. What the fuck's going on? God damn it, every year.
Have you watched season 4? Do you watch it?
No, I haven't. I just for selfish reasons and for altruistic reasons and just philosophical reasons, I still haven't watched it. It's on my TiVo. I kept the season pass, so every time we Game of Thrones night like tonight, we go there and I see a little folder that says Community, and I go, huh. It's like looking at Instagram, you know, as your ex girlfriend out there. I picked that restaurant. I introduced her to that restaurant. I sewed that dress. It's a weird relationship. That was going to be part of my segment called Things Dan Harmon's Not Allowed to Complain About because they make him sound like a rich douche. My mom loved season 4 of Community. The other items are I have a black widow infestation in my backyard.
You're allowed to complain about that.
Not to people who don't have backyards.
No, you've let them off the hook. Now they don't feel bad about not having a backyard.
Yeah, guys, stay in your apartments. Backyards have black widows. Erin was in the backyard. She moved a ceramic pot or a rabbit or something, and a black widow spider, like from the movies, crawled across her hand, and she killed it, and then found like its egg sac inside the ceramic rabbit, and they're all over our garage too. They're all like all up in her garage. She keeps telling me these stories about Black Widows crawling on her. I'm like, what is it? It's like Christopher Walken in Deer Hunter. It's like, stop whatever you're doing. Yeah. Knock it off.
Yes, stop putting your hands under ceramic items.
She's building a tree stump like in Flash Gordon in our front yard so she can just put scorpions in it and reach into it every day.
If I have a golf ball that goes slightly into a bush, I get the longest club in the bag. I'm afraid a rattlesnake.
Unless you live anywhere with snow on the tree. Trees, yeah, don't touch a bush. I came to California with that knowledge just from Time Life books about spiders. I was a big spider guy when I was a kid. I loved spiders. I would go out behind the garage in Wisconsin and I would play with bugs. I loved bugs. I was fascinated with them. I probably would have been an entomologist or something, or an arachnidopia. I would just play with spiders and bugs and stuff. So much so that my one of my aunts for Christmas gave me this big colorful book for adults about spiders, because there was something I was really into. And I read the book. It was just a scientific book about the world's most poisonous spiders. I remember reading like descriptions of like, I think it was the Black Widow. It said something like, it remains relatively still, but it also has a lot of, but its reflexes are so fast that it can traverse the length of a broomstick and a human arm faster than the human ability to drop the stick, or something like that. Like purposely, like using measurements to terrify you.
Yeah.
It will be in your ear eating your brain before you can say there's a spider in my ear eating my brain.
I have a pretty live and let live policy with with bugs and stuff like that. I don't like ants. No one wants a bunch of ants in their place. So if I see one ant, that's the scout ant. So I do that. I whack that ant. So I make sure that he doesn't go back and tell the tale about...
You put his head on a microscopic pike.
A little tiny curb, and I kick his teeth in.
I always kill one when there's another one watching, and then I look at the other one and I say,
it doesn't work.
Tell your friends.
I've tried to tell your friends thing. It doesn't work. They do tell their friends, and they go, oh, the breadcrumb is still there?
So now, Kevin's dead, so if nothing else, we can eat Kevin. Because they're insects.
Or we can go team up on that asshole that killed Kevin.
In their dreams. But fucking ants.
Spiders, no. I told you a story, right, about me falling asleep one time when I was 24. I had a girlfriend. I was staying at her place. And we were asleep, naked. And I woke up, and there was a sound of what I thought was like a moth had gone into my ear. I was laying on my left side, and something that sounded like a one-man band was in my brain. And it was, and I jump up naked, and I'm running around the room screaming. She's laughing because it looks hilarious. But I hear, it's that loud, and it's freaking out. And I'm trying to like hit my head and get it out, and I'm punching myself in the ear. And she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "It's a moth, it's a fly or bugs in my ear." And it was so loud, and it was nonstop, like beating on my, like flapping on my eardrum. And I punch myself in the head as hard as I can, dazing myself and the bug. And then I hear, which I think was his heart. I just like dazed it and stunned it for a while. And then it starts going again. And every time I try to, she turns a light on, but I have to turn my head up to the light, which makes the feeling of gravity is going to bring it farther into my brain, and I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to like you try to get water out of your ear, and that's not working. So I've been told later on that if that happens, if a bug goes in your ear, pour alcohol in there, like knock it out, get it drunk, fuck it up, and then at least the insanity will stop. But I'm just losing my mind and punching myself, and she takes some tweezers out and tries to get it, and at long last, and it takes a long time. We're both nude in the bathroom in the middle of the night. And she's like, "We'll get you to a hospital. Like, I'll be insane by the time we get to the hospital. I seriously will lose my mind." It was freaking me out. And the noise was so loud. And now it's scrambling. And I feel the sensation of it burrowing in.
Oh my God.
It's going the wrong way. Like, it's not going to go the way of the punching.
Right.
It's like there's a crazy...
It's descended from hundreds of generations of spiders that survived It's humanity.
It's just a crazy giant outside. He's not going to go that way.
Knows exactly when to stay put.
So she gets my head up this way to the light so the ear is pointing up, and she puts a tweezers down my ear and manages to get halfway into my brain and pulls out a spider the size of a nickel.
And worth every penny.
Yeah. That's been our show. Good night, everybody. Thanks. And it flies out, and we both scream because it's quite alive, and it's pretty scary looking. And it hits the ground running, and so I barefoot just go wham and stamp on it with a size 13 and a half barefoot foot. And I lift up my foot, and it goes, it just shrugs it off and gets up and keeps running. And so I just...
There are days and there are days. I can't get a break around here.
Like I wanted to be in your ear.
It looked like a barn. Yeah.
So it just fell down my ear. And, you know, they say that we eat lots of bugs in our sleep and don't know it. But I finally managed to kill it. And then for the rest of the time we dated, which wasn't long, she kept putting fake spiders in the bed. But
what?
Yeah, just to be I believe the word is asshole. And it's the worst. So now, like, I used to sleep with, like, a pillow on my head and stuff. It's terrible.
All right. Yeah.
So now, sleep tight, everybody.
All right, my mom loves season 4. We're infested with black widows. We're going to have a guy come take care of it. That's why I sound like an asshole, because you guys couldn't have a guy come take care of it. I'm going to call the black widow guy. I don't know who he is. Harvey Keitel's going to pull up in a Ferrari. You know, my animated show is going to take till December for you guys to get to see. I'm very excited. That's another thing I'm complaining about. People keep spreading rumors about me going back to season 5 of Community. I'm complaining about that. And that navigation system in my Prius, like, well, I keep dropping blue flags everywhere.
Well, that's the worst.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
5% of the audience, who's got this goddamn navigation system? Fucking blue flags! I keep dropping blue flags!
Anybody with a Toyota or a Lexus, I think, has...
Every intersection, you can fucking drop a blue flag at random spots. I got blue flags all over the city.
If there's a menu, you can delete the blue
flag. I know, but you're never going to do that, are you? You're always on your way somewhere, and you're dropping these blue turds all over. Precisely when you're trying to do the opposite, which is figure out where you're going, and you're putting flags all over the thing, and then you come. I'm gonna go home from work now. Let's go. You sure you don't want to go to one of these blue flags you like so much? Well, go to Ivar. You loved it. You put a blue flag there. No, Nicole. I call my car Nicole. I'm not going.
Is this a Nicole Kidman thing? Is that why?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't name my car. I have better things to do. I can't even name characters I create. The Community has all my friends' names. So that rumor on Deadline. I think the reason for it is because weeks ago Sony reached out through private channels. Not that they would have ever reached out through honest public ones. The way that big studios work is that they're in the business of getting their shows syndicated. And I think that in the days before, they were sure that Community would get that very important next 13 episodes, which to them, that's all it represents, is just the number 13. They don't care if any of those 13 are good or bad. They just needed those 13 so that they could not get fired by the machines that make the money from the 97 episodes. It'll be very lucrative for me as well. We're all very happy, everyone except the people that never made any money and who got tattoos of Abed on their thigh. We're all thrilled to pieces about this episode order. But back before it happened, when they were in the position of going, what can we do to make sure this happens? They, in their misguided bottom line minds, were thinking, well, let's sweeten the kitty. Like, maybe we could tell NBC Dan will come back, and that way there will be all kinds of press. And that's how little they care. That's how little shame they have. They don't care. Like, to them, that wouldn't be winning or losing. They don't care. So and I think that in the ensuing weeks, during which time NBC finally made a decision to pick up the show, so it doesn't matter,
you know, someone's assistant probably told someone's assistant to and someone's friend over drinks that conversation happened for a second and resulted in maybe a Deadline article, which resulted in a bunch of other press about it. But I don't.
So you're going back?
Tuesday. No, I just don't, my point is I don't think it's a question that I would even have a yes or no answer to. I don't think that is a choice that I have.
I haven't read this article. For all I know, you're perpetuating this myth right now.
I probably am. I'm trying to make Harmontown a thing you should come to and listen to. I guess I don't know. I'm participating. Where's my clicks?
Wait, but Chevy's not in the show anymore. We got to get him here.
Well, he's a. Why?
Because it'll be insane.
It's our. I mean,
why not bring Chevy Chase once to Harmontown?
Did you see him on SNL?
No, I missed it.
Do you understand what happens when he walks into a room? Like everything gets complicated.
I'm not saying it's going to be fun. I'm saying that we all muscle up. It's like, you know, it's like going to play paintball. It hurts. It's sweaty. You get bruised. You know.
I just don't see it the way you see it, but I mean, I don't like I call him, he calls me sometimes, and all that. I the concept is funny on paper, but yeah. You know, I mean, what
can we do? Like, can we Skype him? Can we get a screen up and like do a little via satellite thing?
Yeah, he seems pretty tech savvy. I think he's probably Skyping me right now. I can't figure out how to filter it right. He can. He's like he does a lot of PHP programming and in his spare time. Anyways, so I just wanted to address that because people tweet me and I thought maybe that would be fun, worth your $10 alone to come out and hear me say out loud. All right, so I think that ends the I had stuff to talk about segment. I saw an Arrested Development poster outside Meltdown. I got really excited. It was cool for. Might be a little cameo in one of those episodes by a certain fat alcoholic close to your hearts. I may or may not have gone out and visited that set. I also had to edit out the whole, for anyone that was here, when I described me being on the set of a Terrence Malick movie with what's his name, Batman in it. John Landis.
Christian Bale.
Did you know John Landis is the new Batman? Did you know that that's...
I was very surprised by
that. It's weird, but I guess they're going back to a kind of like classic feel. I told the story about going and being on the set of a Terrence Malick movie with Christian Bale, and then I had to edit the whole thing out for the very specific reason that, as Aaron pointed out to me on the way home, I got to... It's okay for me to say that I got to do that and how cool it was. It's not okay for me to reveal absolutely anything about the film itself, which I did in the process of talking about the movie. So I lifted the whole thing out. But the only thing that's left is that I get to say I did this thing. And who cares? It's like hearing someone talk about a slot machine in Vegas. Ugh, it's amazing. I was up and then I was down. Go fuck yourself. Who cares? Or like when people tell you about their Dungeons & Dragons characters. Oh, he was a level 5 mage and he had an eye patch and a hawk on his dick. I don't. It's make-believe. While you were gone, Bill poisoned us.
Oh, you're Bill. Hello, Bill. I just heard that. It's hilarious.
Bill, were you also the guy we were talking in the...
Where are my cookies? Did those get destroyed in the bonfire you had afterwards?
I don't know. Maybe they're back. Maybe they're backstage.
I would have been the only one that lived had everybody died from the beef jerky.
Yeah. Bill, settle a bet. Spencer said you were the benign deviance guy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So Bill wasn't a stranger. Wasn't a stranger bearing right. Meat. He was our old friend.
Did you call up the supplier, or was that neglect on your part? Did you just leave it out too long, or was that like?
Yeah, it waited too long because I had to miss a show.
Ah, he's blaming us now.
No, it was me.
Oh, you had to miss a show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we all made it. It was very funny. What was your emotional takeaway from all that? It sounded like there was kind of a roller coaster of whether or not you were a good person or a bad person. Or...
In the moment, I sort of shut down.
in the moment, I sort of shut down, but then when I heard everybody applauding in when I heard everybody applauding in the podcast, when I listened to it later, I finally felt like I could forgive myself.
Yeah.
I heard everybody like going, yeah, but yeah, at the time, I could not hear that.
Oh, really? That's interesting. That happens. I think that's some kind of weird... When I'm on stage, like I'll often, or actually less now than other, but it's like I've already, worrying about what other people think, like it causes a kind of like weird, the same thing as when you're running a marathon and those drugs flood your body that don't let you know that your muscles are shredded and that you're in pain and stuff. Like it makes you kind of deaf and insensitive to things. And so you're kind of in your own little bottle in your head. I think that's what happened to you. or it was the fungus. You may have poisoned yourself.
I was worried that the fungus took over my brain and made me bring it.
Yeah. after the show, I crawl up on the fire escape to get as close as possible to the sun, and then just a leaf comes out of my head.
That is the worst and yet the coolest fungus of all. The one that makes ants' brains go crazy and makes them climb a tree.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's the way, you gotta think about it. The thing that's terrifying about that is this, that there was a day before that fungus existed, and then there was a day, it was Wednesday of maybe 6,000 BC, we don't know, I mean, but that fungus, like from the ant's perspective, like Wednesday was fine, and then Thursday, like, you know, Nathaniel was going like, and then like, because it was, I don't know, I mean, like,
I'm sure there was lots of trial and error on the fungus's part. There was lots of fungus in lots of ants' brains.
It would just get in the brain and fuck them up, and then that fungus didn't survive. But yeah. the fungus that specifically,
but then it got in there and learned how to Voltron the ant's brain and drive him up the tree, like make his legs move. It's really crazy.
I don't know, Jeff. I think that's too complicated for random mutation. I'm converting to intelligent design. Me and Ben Stein are gonna go on a retreat. I've had it. Have you seen the human eyeball? It is complex. I give up. No more science. That human eye. Woo! Who would do that? Who wouldn't? What random system would do that? That's the intelligent design main argument.
Ben Stein.
Look at the human eye.
Ben Stein's into that now?
I think he is. I saw a trailer for, yeah. Yeah. I saw a trailer for a documentary that played a lot of like punk rock music or something while he walked around. And I think the implication was that, yeah, he was doing the religious thing, but saying God existed. Who cares? On either side, who cares?
How softball.
The only thing more obnoxious than somebody like beating down doors and insisting God exists is somebody insisting he doesn't. Like, it's so dumb. Such a dumb argument. Who cares?
Yeah, that's how I feel about Bill Maher. It's like, believe what you want, but he's just being a dick about it. Like, he's
almost,
saying, like,
you would say evangelical.
Yeah.
I just can't stand...
And
like,
dogmatic and being a fundamentalist and being just a tool. Like, he's knocking on my door and thumping a book called Not the Bible. And also, he just seems like a terrible guy anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're gonna... Yeah, if you've nailed a way of life, advertise for it with a big smile on your face and hanging out, and then let me go, God damn it, I love that guy. How can I be more like him? Let me sneak into your underwear drawer and find your Bible and because I need to know how to be as happy as you. I'll walk around scowling. I don't want to know what you put in your drink at night. I got my own problems. the problem is that everybody thinks that everyone's codependent. Everyone insists that only if and when everyone in the world does exactly the same thing will all our problems be solved. And so people justify simultaneously being completely unhappy and being totally passionate about some point of view. Which, if everyone just would you know, you got to tend your own garden. Because that way you're not, that people could just counter your argument by going, well, then why are you such a miserable sack? And I think that's why people are into politics. It's not really because they care that much. It's because it justifies being a miserable and evangelical piece of shit simultaneously without being a hypocrite. I think the appeal of politics is that you can pretend that your point of view is important even though it clearly isn't to you.
Yeah, it's like in the electric cool and acid test, and Ken Kesey is asked to speak at like is it Berkeley or whatever, and all the kids are like, you know, like you know, let's change everything. And he's the voice of that, you know, that time and that movement, they think. And he gets up and he's like, yeah, it just kind of seems like you're all just yelling me, me, me. Like, it's all about just I. It's like it's all just you just saying your name out loud.
Abby and everybody's Hoffman, like, all bummed Abby out. Hoffman gave a big speech in the at some point in the 60s, you know, when everybody was goofing around. Abby Hoffman did a thing where he got up and, like, he said this whole speech and everyone was cheering for it. And he's like, I can tell you guys love this speech, but I feel bad taking credit for it. It was actually written by Adolf Hitler. In 1935, I just gave you a speech from Hitler.
Did he change some words?
I'm sure he translated it into English. But I'm sure it was... But I bet he didn't have to change that much because it was probably just general... I mean, every time Hitler spoke, he didn't say, let's kill 6 million Jews. Otherwise, that would be, you know, that roulette wheel would have come up double zero at a certain point. So it would be like, 6 million? Come on! I got work tomorrow. Most of the time, he was saying very similar stuff to every politician you've ever heard in your life, which is, we're so fucking amazing, we're going to be amazing from now on. We haven't been amazing in the past, but now we're going to be really amazing tomorrow, and it's going to be because we're strong and we're together. And words that mean absolutely nothing in a world where we then team up on specific words like retarded and the N-word and go, okay, let's get rid of these words because these things are like abracadabra. If I say retarded enough in the wrong way, the retarded people are going to, they're going to be even more retarded. If we eliminate the word, retardation will go away. Not that it should, because they're amazing people, and it's language that's the real handicap. Meanwhile, people who say words that have no meaning at all are actually actively oppressing people and causing things that result in people being physically hurt. And they get away with it because their words are porridge instead of having any flavor. Porridge can be good. I'm not saying porridge shouldn't be synonymous with lack of flavor. It gets a bum rap because the famous porridge is from Oliver Twist and the classic teddy bear story.
They made bad porridge famous.
Bad porridge is higher profile than good porridge. There's not enough. We need to start an anti-porridge defamation league. Some kind that can where are the stories where like Jack climbs a beanstalk and he finds golden porridge?
What qualifies something as porridge?
I think it has to. I don't know.
Anybody know? Can someone look that up over here and tell me what makes porridge porridge and not just like a nice bowl of cream of wheat or grits or something like that?
Isn't porridge just like warm breakfast cereal, like oatmeal, cream of wheat, grits?
Like the way pudding is just dessert in England, like pudding just means dessert, basically.
Well, no, pudding is lots of things. It's also like savory things. Yeah. You know, you can get a pudding at any meal of the day there.
So maybe porridge is just like a bowl of hot.
Boiling, ground, crushed, or chopped cereal in water, milk, or both.
That's a lot of ores.
With optional flavor.
Yeah, so it's grits. It's boiled. It's bad cereal.
Boiled or poached cereal, wheat, grain, or human head, served or not served in a bowl or on a platform for breakfast or to send a message to the enemy. Or anything in between.
Now then, what makes gruel gruel? Is gruel just like the world's worst porridge?
Yeah, shit porridge.
Thin, watery porridge. Yeah, so gruel's worse than bad porridge. On the Homeland Security porridge color-coded scale.
We can formulate the world's most culturally biased SAT question out of this. Porridge is to gruel as gruel is to... All right. I don't have shit to talk about.
Let's get the stars on stage, man.
Yeah, season 5 in your dreams with me. They haven't asked. They won't ask.
If they asked you, and let's say they gave you the keys to the kingdom...
I am a professional storyteller, and that's an amazing third act. So I would not be closed to that amazing story.
Are you bummed out they haven't? I mean, obviously they're not going to ask you, but
this is the thing. This is the reason I refuse to be bummed out they haven't asked. God, that's not fair. I get to be happy they haven't asked. That is my luxury.
Have you fantasized?
That is why when Sony reached out to my agency. agency and said, what day was that? My response to my agent was like, when you guys figure out a yes or no question to ask me all together as one collection of suits, I will then have a question to answer. I'll be goddamned if I'm going to fall. I was a nerd in high school. I know how this shit works. I was supposed to go like, yeah, I'd go back. And then get an email from Bob Greenblatt going, I heard you'd said you'd come back. Uh-uh, bitch. I don't know who you think you are, but the voice is doing real good. We don't need your ass. And I'm like, what the fuck did I do? I just got dumped twice. I don't even like you people. I'm happy in forensics. You can take your cafeteria table and stick it up your ass. All you guys do is sit there and talk about how thin you are. I have friends in the drama club. We're close. We go to Rocky Horror together. I have a meaningful relationships. I don't care how popular you are. I do a little bit. It was fun.
Do you? I mean, obviously, you still retain popularity because you are still attached to that show. But do you miss the kind of day to day popularity of like?
No. I miss the day to day like actual substance instead of the kind of day to day like. Talking about, you know, I miss the actual, like, short-term, let's put on a show every week. How did you feel about that? Here's your reaction. You know, the building and building and building of that drum circle of fans. That beast getting fed and then responding to it with creations of their own. I'm not blowing smoke. What I miss is the actual content and the creation of it and the response to it and the... And that fire burning. I don't miss the byproduct of it, which was like people talking about me, which inevitably would always result in people saying I was fat or psycho or something like that. So that you get ash with that ember. It doesn't matter. But what I miss is the fire. What a metaphor. Go fuck yourself. Have another drink, you Black Widow covered fucking Joan Crawford eyebrow painting, cream faced, nowhere hanger loving.
No wire hanger loving.
You know wire hanger loving, bitch. There was just one black guy in that movie to stand up and really give it to her.
You don't hate wire hangers. You love the absence of wire hangers.
There's so many times in that movie where the daughter pauses outside the house before going back in one more time from one more convent academy or whatever. And I actually just realized they needed like one black guy in the front row to go, don't go in there. Stop it. She keeps hitting you.
I'm almost certain no black person ever saw Mommy Dearest.
Yeah. And if they did, they'd probably be so confused. They'd be like, what? Yeah, I don't know. Because everyone knows black people are synonymous with an experience in life and set of perceptions. They're a completely objectified subset of humanity. We all know that. All right. I'm being sarcastic. Your silence disturbs me sometimes. I got the message from the survey last week. Half of you think I'm racist, and a majority of you are the jury's out.
I want to talk a little bit about what I listened to while I was away. So we should probably get Spencer and Kumail up here.
All right.
Can we get Spencer Crittenden and Kumail Nanjiani to the stage?
By the way, you know the headline on Deadline tomorrow is going to be Dan Harmon expresses strong desire to return.
I don't feel sorry for myself for a second at all. Obviously, I'm lots of money and I'm an amazing person and I'm gonna live till 90 and I'm gonna die on a bed of money with six dogs licking my nipples and. You know, the whole American dream.
And a huge tapestry made out of dead Black Widows.
Just little tiny Black Widow heads like a big game hunter and little
mahogany crests.
I'll have an Australian assistant who really kind of bagged them all for me. Like, I'm like Roosevelt. Like, I go out with a monocle and an elephant gun.
You see that one there? He could run across a broomstick and cross your arm faster than you can react.
Not anymore, he can't.
He was about cheetah speed.
he's obviously the guy that's really behind all the kills, but I'm like, oh, that one there, that was an eight-legger.
I think there were mostly eight-leggers.
You'd be the kind of guy who would never be invited back to the...
Oh.
You would end up in a mysterious skeet shooting accident on my yacht.
It's going to be all the black widow heads in my head also. Are they super... to bring together two things that you spiders and religion in Islam, at least my sect of Islam... At some point in history, there was a spider, like the good guy was hiding from the bad guys, and the spider made a web to hide the bad guy. So in my sect of Islam, spiders, you can't kill them. Like, so they're all over the place.
Well, I mean, it's not religious in Western society, but it's bad luck to kill a spider.
Oh, is that right?
Because they eat bugs.
It's interesting that it gets like all like turned around like that. So we had like spider webs. You couldn't do anything with
spider webs.
I don't
think it's
bad
luck to step on a brown recluse or something like that.
California, I've noticed there's a lot less mention of how much bad luck it is to kill spiders. In Wisconsin...
Everybody likes the little daddy long legs that chill out and eat
bugs. Those are arthropods, so not arachnids. Sometimes I don't know how I can get up in the morning.
It's not how you get up, it's how can you go to sleep at night, Dan?
Who do you think's been putting all those black widows in your garage, Dan?
I go to bed at night amongst a nest of very well-respected arthropods who like porridge, do not deserve the rap they got from spiders. What Daddy Longlegs, do you know there's that urban legend, everyone thinks that Daddy Longlegs, they say, it's the most poisonous beast on Earth, but it can't pierce the human skin with its mandibles.
Yeah.
So like you let a daddy long leg crawl on your hand and nothing's ever going to happen. Because it's like the brontosaurus of spider-looking things. It's never going to... It's like a ridiculous... It maybe would eat like an ant leg if it found one in the mail.
Brontosaurus...
And if it had the right address on it. If it just said to resident, it would be like, this isn't mine. I can't... Very polite.
It's
going to
be
creatures.
So frustrating. You know, brontosauruses don't exist. That was
That
was a hoax.
Wait,
that's
what?
The worst.
Oh, wait.
Brontosaurus... They have been taken out. They're not real dinosaurs.
Oh, God. Same as Pluto.
It's like Pluto, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
They got Pluto'd.
Wait, so wait.
Well, here's the story.
It's like Bobby and John Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because you got the Brachiosaurus, right, which is the one that looks like it, and then famously sneezes a lot of snot on kids.
Only when it's hilarious. So. Wait, so tell me...
Apparently, there were two paleontologists, I forget the exact... This was like the 60s or something, who were like fighting each other. They had like... They were all like traveling all over the world to discover new dinosaurs, and it was a big like... It's called the Bone Wars. It's really fascinating. It really is called the Bone Wars. So they were like hurrying up to like discover more. So the one guy started putting together different heads and bodies and calling them new species.
Just for the street cred.
And he totally won, and the other guy got totally discredited. And then after this, the winner died. They find out that he made up all these dinosaurs, including the Brontosaurus.
But as far as the winner knows, he died with the belt. He died champion.
Oh, he died. He died with six puppies licking his nipples.
But the winner knew he was cheating. He died. Knowing he was a fraud.
But yeah, but he had hoaxed the world and probably... You know, a person that does that probably died happy. Probably slept like a baby.
What a cock.
I know.
I use Christ to resurrect him just to slap him in the face for the damage that does in the science versus religion wars. Like you fucking idiots. Do you know what a fucking meal these rednecks are going to make out of this?
It's all made up. Look at this.
Oh, man. Like there are people out there publishing coloring books teaching children that dinosaurs didn't exist, that bones were buried by the devil and the people that made Space Lab in the 70s so that we could dig them up in the 80s and pretend there were the dinosaurs. Like warping children's brains. I mean,
did you see that fourth grade test from some Christian school that was like, when was the Earth created? And it says 6,000 years. Did humans and dinosaurs live together? Yes. Like, it's all like super creationist. It came out like 3-4 days ago.
Tumblr.
It's on Tumblr.
I gotta draw the line there. That's where I would care about politics. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's...
You're gonna, a kid doesn't even have a chance.
That's not politics. That's just ignorance. That's just...
Well, everyone that's passionate about something political, like, that's their big thing. This isn't even politics. This is a fucking holy war. I'm going to blow up this clinic.
There was this... sorry, what?
That's like, for people who are anti-religion, we are anti-religion because of
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying. The town hall is crying out. Yes, that's why exactly. Yes, the people who are anti-religion, who let's call it the Bill Maher end of the spectrum, like that is the kick in the shins to which they're reacting. I absolutely understand that, and I obviously, if there was a big rumble, I'm not gonna bring a bike chain to the Christian side of it. My only point is that if we know that people are kind of dumb, then we know that what kind of motivates them is like anger at smart people, what good is like a bunch of smart people stepping on their face gonna do? I don't know. I don't know.
This is going to lose everybody. I'm sure this is not the audience for this. I watched the Players' Championship, the golf thing that Tiger won today. And the commentators are very good. They know a lot about golf. They look at everybody's swing, and they know exactly what's going on. They know everything about grass. You know, they know what kind of grass does what, and they can read the grain. It's kind of fascinating, the amount of knowledge that goes into it. I'm not a great golfer. I'm not an avid golfer. I do it when I suck, but... there's a thing now because of TV and because somebody heard the first time. I don't know if it was because of Billy Madison. What's the golf one? Happy Madison?
Happy Gilmore.
Sorry. I was combining.
Happy Madison.
I always do that.
I always do that too. Yeah. And he named his production company a mixture of the two just now, to fuck with old people.
Every single time Tiger and a lot of other like popular golfers strike the ball, get it a hole! There's 8 douchebags with the same khaki pants on and the same shirt and the same tailor-made ball cap, and they all yell get in the hole, but it'll be the tee shot on a par fucking 5. It's 6. The hole is 550 yards away. That ball's not going in the hole.
Oh yeah.
And so everybody yells get in the hole, but now it's because they've heard these famous calls of like a great putt that somebody made, and like I'm the guy that was my get in the hole when Tiger did that thing. So now everybody's trying to beat each other to get in the hole, but they have to wait. Like also like with camera clicks, so you've got all these 75 IQ fuckers that are dressed in the exact same outfit. The homogeneity of golf fans' attire is troubling to me. It should not be that much fucking khaki on that many pale white people. And it's really disturbing. It's really Nuremberg-y and gross.
And too much brown fabric and too big a crowd.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I had a great time at the tournament. A little Nuremberg-y, but...
So today,
Crystal knocked dish out here.
But
little Joy Division ish.
The commentators are all very clearly intelligent people, and they crack wise. They can be quite poetic sometimes in their call of the boringness of golf that can be. There were these guys that all had like spelled out Sergio for Sergio Garcia, and they all lined up, and the guy and they all yelled like "Viva Las Vegas!" or like whatever, like some shit like whenever he hit the ball. And the commentators don't say anything. They don't justify it. They don't get angry at it. I think that's very classy of them, but it has to stop, because today in the final one of the final holes. Big important putt, millions of dollars on the line. Someone goes, "Happy Mother's Day, Bob, Toledo, Iowa."
So you're saying that's like organized religion?
I think the average IQ is dumb. The average, and you get any giant group of strangers together.
Yeah.
The average IQ are the people that are work for Earthlink or for AT&T, and you're like, God, that's why customer service is so infuriating, because they're not the smartest people in society doing that. And you have to remember that the people that run around and want to stand too close to Tiger's ball and be an asshole and be in the way and yell that, those are regular people. And they have smooth parts of their brain where they should be curved.
There
should be some nooks and crannies in there.
And so we end up being elitist anyway. We could be elitist and compassionate.
I don't think people are dumb. I think in some ways truth is public opinion. And so if you're surrounded by people who are all saying the same thing, it's something you don't really question. So if you're wearing khakis and you're around by all these guys, and this is just what we do. On their own, they might be smart, but when they're all together, and they're like, yeah, get in the ball, get in the hole, or whatever they fucking yell, it becomes the thing to do. And that's how, like, you know, with the NRA and the religion and all of that.
The problem with getting in the hole is, and I thought about it, I was like, say something else. But the thing is, what else would
you say?
I have a dream.
that is the fastest way to say. I hope you make that putt.
Yeah, they should have Martin Luther King quotes or
1% of the population has 99% of its wealth.
Yeah. Ask them what your country can do for you. I was thinking there was another. This is
if voting was powerful, it'd be illegal.
A few years ago, there was a school, this is going back a little bit, to that they had a creation science fair where all the projects had to support creationism or disprove evolution. The girl who came in first place, she took a
test. She had a frog in a tank, and she said, it's not a lizard yet.
Not so different. She took a glass jar, put sand and rocks inside it, put it in a cupboard, pulled it out a week later, nothing had evolved, so evolution disproved. But it would have been so awesome if she pulled it out and there was like a tiny giraffe in there, you know?
And one day science will put that tiny giraffe there.
So there goes first place.
I mean, I've had time to stew about this very valid like thing because I heard myself saying, God damn it. We've burnt women at the stake. We've drilled holes in people's heads. So much has been done wrong by powerful people in the name of religion. It's not religion's fault. It is powerful people's fault. They will abuse anything you give them. If you replace religion with science or money, rich old white people are going to burn women at the stake. They're going to do it for whatever reason. They're going to do it because they hate women and they want to set something on fire.
The women are all around.
Because how the fuck can you twist a guy walking around saying everyone love each other the wrong way? They figured out how. It ended with a McDonald's in Rome with surrounded a guy in a funny hat surrounded by gold bowls with different colored smoke coming out of a chimney. How do you twist Thomas Jefferson around and end with two parties arguing and having conventions that never existed where they're agreeing on what they're going to debate about with the League of Women Voters going, you know what, we can't moderate this anymore. Fuck this. You guys are insane. This is a conspiracy against everyone poor. How do you twist that shit around? The answer is because you want to. So science is, of course, it's the best religion we've come up with so far because it's a pursuit to replace the unknown with the known. It is just as much as religion should be. It's like, let's join hands and scour the landscape for this lost child in this Amber Alert called the search for the meaning of life. I don't care if we find a shoe or a blade of grass with a little extra blood on it.
Yeah, one set of footprints. Yeah, that was when
that is when I was raping you.
Yeah. How?
You're raping her on foot?
Yeah, she's up in. Why are her
he
feet
works in mysterious ways. I don't know what we're even talking about anymore.
That was a metaphor Eurorail pass.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was when science carried you, but you went with rape. So.
And God bless me, I always will. The fight of whether or not we're going to be religious or scientific first, in a very important sense, has already been over. When you look at the skyline, as Campbell said, the tallest buildings were always churches back in the days when they were abusing their power. He didn't say that part, but there was a point where the churches were the big tall buildings. That's why churches have that architecture to them, because that was state of the art. How high can we get this building? Then by the time we learned how to make buildings taller, that money and engineering knowledge was coming not from God, but from Fort Knox. And so the buildings that are taller than churches now are commercial buildings. And commerce and science has won. You only have to look out your window to see that. The crosses are lower than the antenna and the NBC logos and the CNNs and the whatevers. We beat them. But are we going to become another church? Are we going to become? The thing that they created accidentally or on purpose
and either forgot or never wanted to know that we all know about has this. It's like this idea of a moral code, the idea that we're important to each other. Well, these prophets were popping up 2,000 years ago when we were writing literature. It had this like eruption of like, okay, this guy suddenly became a revolutionary, and then he got killed for it. This guy too. This guy like said some shit all over the globe. It was happening roughly at the same time as like we were becoming like powerful enough to kill each other. We weren't taking each other seriously enough. We have it within us, like unconsciously, as we start to get more and more crowded together and the guns start to grow on trees and be available in bubblegum machines. We have it in us to do stuff with our brains that will make it possible for guns to be available in gumball machines and nobody to get hurt. Less people than you'd think. For the lights to go out in New York for a whole night and nobody gets hurt, the ice cream just melts and they eat it together. For wonderful things to happen, no matter how little opinion we give we have of ourselves, we've achieved magnificent things, both because science continues to prove maniacs wrong, but also because as that happens, like human beings continue to reveal themselves to have like the power to police themselves, the monster inside of us. And so I just like when the guys in the lab coats come out and they go like, okay, I just figured it out. What happened 1.000003 seconds after the universe was created? We now know that a Zedron made of Hebron. That guy, his job is to focus on that stuff really hard, to the exclusion probably of a lot of thought about whether or not we should hit each other in the face over a game of checkers and stuff. That guy might be a great person. He might be a terrible person, personality-wise. His brain is given over to forging into that unknown territory and reporting back to us what happens to a parsec when it becomes a Quibon or whatever. we in the mainstream, you know, smart or stupid relative to that guy, when we hear that a Quizon is actually a Hebon, we have to be good people still. Because the more we get rid of God, the more we shove that stuff aside, the more we actually need to supplant it with some kind of code, some kind of culture. We actually, like, it's already been laid out for us. Like, you know, Roddenberry, that's why he was so impacting, because he saw it, you know, and he saw the Vulcan mythology where they're like, they were related to Romulans and they became like super like fucking intelligent and able to destroy themselves and made a mimetic decision to evolve. So we got to go with logic now. And logic says don't punch someone in the face just because you think he likes your girlfriend or because you want more oil or, you know, like logic, like make a decision about the species and blah, blah, blah. So, like, we know that science is supposed to beget like this higher state of being. But right now we're caught in this puberty where science is only making us beat up our dad on prom night. That's all. We're just being a little bit destructive, I think. We have to work it out a little bit.
Don't you think there's like a churchification of science going on though? Because like I feel that
that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, that's happening. Like that's the thing. There's like
and look,
sex.
this paleontologist was doing the choir boy molestation of creating dinosaurs.
Yeah,
he was making them up.
I would say not as bad, but continue.
It happens. Like there's people that won't listen to evidence because they just assume that a given principle is just law and unchangeable, and rather than like go back and look at evidence, they're like, no, this is what I know. This is my Bible, so I'm not going to question it. But that's the whole point of science, is to question it.
There's a ton of within their ranks. Thank God science is intelligent enough to have as its code has peer review and skepticism like baked into it. There are these dogmatic old men who make it hard on the young men coming up, and young women. Why do they do that?
Yeah, stratifications though.
It's too late for me. Make your own lightsaber and move on. Throw me in the pit and watch me shoot lightning as I die. But there's always going to be an old boys club that's always like, even especially in anthropology where it's like you have to dig up a
bone to prove something, and then in the meantime, it's all these theories. And like Elaine Morgan, one of my heroes who created the aquatic ape theory, was like bullied by blah blah blah. Different episode. But take a step back from that now, if you're willing to look at that and say, okay, scientist A is kind of a dick to scientist C. Within their community, because scientist C hasn't paid his dues, and he's not, you know, this theory's got traction, and people don't want it to be true, and don't want to take new hypotheses seriously. Now you take a step back from that and look at how science is that condescending to someone with an IQ over 75 who happens to choose to have a relationship with the unknown, an umbilical point coming out of their forebrain and into the void. To comfort them in the face of all this chaos, to personify, as is not only our right, but fuck, our instinct. As these chatterbox primates, we creating religion comes as naturally to us as I've said, pooping. And there's a lot of poop that needs to be flushed away, but thank God we look at it sometimes in case there's blood in it and we go to the doctor. It's coming out of us. Religion is coming out of us. And you just take a look at it. Every time you blow your nose.
Are you saying religion is like bloody poop? There's blood in the shit.
Bad religion. Bad religion.
There might also once in a while be a nugget of gold in your poop.
Not as often.
Maybe the metaphor doesn't work. Human beings create a lot of things that are easily dismissible because they happen so naturally. The fact that I'm talking, I mean, it's amazing. People, like we've written language. Written language is this mimetic thing. It's like babies just at 2 years old just go like, hey, give me a glass of water. Like, and they go, whoa, what the fuck? That's genetic. That's like actual happening. Like we're like weird macaws. We just start talking. It's crazy. And when we do, we start like cognifying differently. We start recognizing like how to make maps and shit that we wouldn't understand if we didn't have language.
Yeah, and different.
What a podcast.
They say like people who speak different languages, different grammatical structures, approach problem solving differently.
Yeah,
so it really does sort of feed into each other.
Because I can choose to say that you're sitting on top of the box, or that the box has you on top of it.
Yeah, and the way you think of it.
The language is absolutely thought.
And literally, when you're speaking in different languages, different parts of your brain are going. So if like the pathways are different. I can feel it when I switch to Urdu. That my brain works slightly differently. When I switch back, it like takes me a second to lock back into it.
That's what they say about Urdu. you never go back.
Once you go Urdu, you never go back.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to equate.
In Urdu, you say, if you go back, you never Urdu. So.
See, that's why, that's the thing.
It's a beautiful language.
And by the way, put a...
Beautiful. Oh.
Put a big fat asterisk
some of
on the idea.
My favorite operas are Urdu.
The fact that language is thought, the fact that we think as we speak, and that the words we say are actually sort of the pathways of our brain, that is a lot different from saying that certain specific words are magical and need to be either celebrated or buried. That's dumb. Like, there's no smart way to approach
but
that.
But I do think words do have meaning. You were saying that earlier. And people do use words differently to oppress or further a certain thing. There's a reason. It's called pro-choice and pro-life and not pro-abortion. And, you know, so these words do have certain... And that's what the Nazis did a lot. Instead of calling it, we're going to kill all the Jews, it was the final solution. And when they had the Jews sort of running the camps, that was called joy division. So those words... That they're not just words. They can sort of be used to have people thinking a certain way.
Yeah, and when you have a cold, there's snot on your face. But an anti-snot campaign is not going to come up with the cure. Like it is just, you know, just keep wiping and whatever. I guess that's better than letting it sit on your face. That's a social... custom. Don't put your elbows on the table. Don't say the N-word around black people. You know why? Here's why I don't.
I think
do
I
it.
Know why.
Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. Here's why I stopped doing it from when I was like 25 and I was like all punk rock. I'm like, you're not going to fuck it. Like Quentin Tarantino said once, and I do agree with this fundamentally, when a word has that much power, you should be screaming it from the rooftops. He's right. I mean, in the way that you should be right, he's right. But
you're not going to get that.
But
it's always going to be used in a certain way.
Well, no. Here's why I say the N-word instead of actually saying the N-word. It's because it's for the same reason I don't say the C
word like as often as I as
want
I might.
To.
Yeah.
When I'm driving inside my car, everybody's a cunt. I'm a cunt. That old lady's a cunt. The dog is a cunt. The guy in front of me.
When I'm kissing my girlfriend goodbye to go to work in the morning, she's an N-word. The N-word. Privately between sure. me and my girlfriend, like that word is like fucking amazing.
It's like saying sugar pie or whatever.
Yeah, I love it. And I love it because I'm not supposed to, and it's,
sure.
and it's so it's tender and delicious and wonderful in your mouth like a piece of fucking bacon. Tough titties for the people who made it that flavorful on all sides of the issue. In the end, I'm a guy inside my house. I got a couple of ways to be impacting to myself. The reason I don't
they're N-word and cunt. Yeah.
The reason I don't say it around other people in mixed company, as it were, is because. Because of the social pressure. I'm rolling my eyes at the dumb dot connection between the words mixed company. The social anxiety and pressure that it puts people on. For the same reason I cover my mouth when I sneeze or say bless you when someone else sneezes.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with it. That's why I don't want to make other people deal with
well,
it. That's
sure.
called politeness. It has nothing to do with fixing society.
Your house, that word is powerless. It means nothing. You're screaming it from the rooftops. There's nothing negative about that word. But when you say it in public, there is a connotation to it that you can't control. When you say it and that word's out there, even though whatever your...
But I could easily say it without the connotation. Louis C.K. and every great
sure.
comic has had a whole 10-minute bit that relieves the pressure. Thank God. Like I could be one of those people. I could come out and do 10 minutes and say the N-word. And everybody would be laughing, and black people included. But the black people would have to deal with people like glancing at them and feeling, even if they didn't
yeah.
like feeling. I'm too lazy to make anyone deal with that. I don't want to do it. That tree can be cut down by a different lumberjack with a better plaid shirt. me, I'll stick to metaphor crafted. That's my bread and butter. But the only point I'm making, like, is that it's when we get bogged down in the technical aspect of whether or not the words have power, then the answer, we both agree that
sure.
look at the word, look at the powerful word, it has power. But then there's subsets of that topic, you go, what, the power doesn't mean, it's like the snot has power when you have a cold. You could scrape it, put it in a jar, and centrifuge it and find out what kind of cold you have. There's all kinds of things you could do with the snot. You cannot cure the cold by inventing something that makes the snot go away, by making snot illegal. The person's immune system is being impacted. Their body is generating shit in their body. The final end result is there's some snot coming out of their nose. We're communicating with each other, and there's a word that, thank God, there's a word. That is a tendril to all of this legacy. If there weren't a word, holy shit. Like there ain't no word for the fact that we killed a bunch of Indians. Like because it matters less.
Yeah.
We don't have a fucking word to dance around and be polite about. We just did it and moved on.
But I do think words do affect. It's not just that the word is a symptom of an ill or whatever, the way you're saying snot and cold. I also do think words can affect the way a person thinks and feels about something. If they say it
and their intent is, yeah, of course,
no,
you reveal through your language whether or not you give a shit whether the person next to you is a human being or not. Yeah.
No, but just also like going back to just saying pro-life, that sounds very positive. And if you keep saying that pro-life, it sort of affects how you think about that issue. Whereas if you're saying pro-choice, then it's something else. I really do think words can affect the way people think about certain things. And again, if you read stuff about what happened in concentration camps, they changed what words mean, and it changed the way people thought.
That's the first thing they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That is the way you recognize fascism, is people who are... like running for media and language. That's the place they go because the weak and the busy the overworked and the tired and the desperate only have language to connect to other people through and media. And so people who find themselves in positions of moderate power, they run to the tallest buildings with the dishes on them and they start tweaking the way we're communicating with those people. They make sure that we're obsessed with race. They make sure that the 99% think of themselves as 15% black and 85% this. They instead of just a big simple number, they tweak the language that way, and that's what's dangerous, because the people that are dividing us are speaking language, are speaking pro-life and pro-choice. The people dividing us are speaking N-word, and N-word is magical. There is a conspiracy among the dunces to divide us. I don't know. Let's settle this in a
that makes sense to me.
At another time, I'm very suspicious.
Are we gonna settle it though?
Yeah. No, I guarantee it. We'll still, because I talk too much about Black Widows. If we started from the top of the show,
well, okay. Are Black Widows poisonous or no? Are they like horrible
black people?
No, Black Widows.
Oh, because to answer that question, which is more important, they are, but their mandibles can't pierce human skin, so they can't deliver the payload. No one laughed at that again, making me think that you actually think I'm racist.
I'm not an editor, but there's an easy way to make this sound like you're a racist that wants to be back on Community. On a very special fifth season.
Yeah, and you're misogynistic.
Yeah. It's stand-up raping and N-bombs.
May not be far from the truth.
It's not going to take a lot of editing either. Just a couple snips.
At this point in my life, I'm only a product of what other people think about me. So if I make an awesome callback spider black person joke like that, and
I'm with you.
There's silence in the room because they're like, man, he really is racist.
It's like, holy shit, we have to...
If a third person calls you a horse's ass, you buy a saddle.
Well, I think it's the thing... I don't think it was people getting uncomfortable. I think it's when you go into a certain field, like when you're about to clearly make a black joke, it has to be finely crafted.
That was amazing.
I don't think
the daddy long legs and the black.
If it had been a great
joke. Are black people poisonous? Yes, but their mandibles can't. I thought that was great.
They still disagree.
I know.
Not on board. I'm with you, Dan.
If it had been a hilarious joke, that would have overridden people's natural
instincts. I know.
That's
the thing. If you're doing a stand-up bit about the N-word, which is why Louis C.K. can do it, because it's the best bit about that word, it better be the fucking best bit. Otherwise, you know, it can't be like...
All right, Mom. This.
No. But I'm not saying... I'm the guy who's on your side with the black people mandible piercing joke.
How would you say that in Urdu?
In Russia, mandible, you pierce mandible.
So you don't actually speak Urdu, do you?
Yeah, this is just a tan and a speech impediment.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
It's the world's best kept secret.
Yeah.
There is no
Jason.
Language.
It's my name is Chris Mail.
All right. I need a female from the audience who can tell us in 5 minutes about the worst conversation with their mother for Mother's Day. That's willing to share it with the podcast audience. Your reward is you get to play Aaron's character in D&D.
All right, we got a round of hands.
Young lady's hand came up.
To the stage, please. She had a very deep frown when she raised her hand. It's better be sounding like a good story.
It's okay if it's bad for some tragic reason. It doesn't have to be a finely crafted comedic thing.
Yeah. Hello. Hey. What's your name?
Oh, wait, hold on. Give my heart a second. Not too good.
Take all the time you want.
I'm Denise. Hey, guys.
Hi, I'm Kamel. Chris, nice to meet you.
I know who you are. I know who you are. Yeah.
I don't know.
It would be weird if you didn't and you were here.
What's your name?
Denise.
Denise, okay.
Yeah. Cool. I also, I love that you speak Urdu, by the way, and English. Do you speak any other languages?
No. Well, I could say Hindi, but it's spoken the same as Urdu. But I could say, now I feel bad about only speaking two languages. Do you speak multiple languages?
Yeah, I do too, yeah.
Which ones?
German, Farsi, and English.
Farsi?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
nice, really.
Now, is
that's
it true in Farsi?
No.
Denise can ask, because I had a crush on a Persian gal when I was in high school or college.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because they're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
And are you Persian?
Yes.
Okay. And hubba hubba. And
if only you hadn't said the C word so many times.
I it's only when I'm driving.
If only they weren't so hairy. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't say it.
I didn't say it. It's hairy like Bill's jerky. Sorry. Bill, we're together.
Is it true or not true that the word for popcorn is elephant farts?
Yes, it is.
In Farsi, elephant they call farts. Popcorn elephant farts, which is adorable.
Yeah. It's gross. What?
Wait, is it...
Can I
is
have
it,
some salty elephant farts? Like, how does it make
Is it
you?
A string of syllables that sounds like the English words elephant farts, or are you saying that,
no.
that the colloquial term is elephant farts?
It's like going and ordering a burger and saying, can I have some diarrhea in a bun?
Right.
Like, it's just,
like the
I don't
way
know.
Burrito is like a little... It's a little pack
right.
mule. So elephant farts.
Yeah, they look like little, like that's what an elephant fart would look like if you could.
I like that.
I think it's adorable.
And also, I would eat them. I'll still eat popcorn.
What's the word? What do you call it?
Can you say it?
Yeah, can you say it?
Chosefil.
No, see, it's beautiful.
Chos means fart and fil is the
elephant.
It means elephant.
Okay, yeah. Now let me ask you one more. Yeah. Is it true if I say the name of the country, Costa Rica? Uh-huh. Is that? That's,
oh my God! Yes.
You just insulted her uncle.
No, you're totally legit.
You are obsessed with cunts, which I understand, you know. But I might have
put that more delicately, but I guess you can say so.
I will listen to you say it a couple more times.
I know. I'm weirdly Hindu.
It's like having a gangster rapper up here.
Now say the N-word for it.
Yeah. Well, no, she's not her.
I grew up in Germany, and they called me sand nigger my entire childhood.
All right, so that's how she can do it. As long as she says the word sand before it. You and I can say it.
Yeah. It's a bubble. Yeah. It's a bubble.
Sand room. I can do it. What's up, my sand room?
Yeah.
Tell them what Costa Rica is.
Costa Rica means your cunt smells, basically.
Yeah. Hey, does is that pussy?
Means, yeah, cuss means
that's
pussy.
That's Urdu, too.
Guy is nodding. Are you Persian?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's
you're
just,
like,
he
yeah. You're like,
he's
yeah.
He's just into smelly just, pussy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's actually a that's the
it scares
that's,
me.
That's the on the license plate for Costa Rica, right?
Yeah.
Costa Rica, and then on the bottom it says means your
like
means your pussy smells in Farsi.
But kuss means pussy
and
Urdu
is for
also.
Lovers.
It does.
Yeah, kuss means pussy.
Yeah, I think
in,
our
in
like
Urdu.
Languages are. Pretty
yeah, we're very connected. Yeah.
The multilingual thing always bums me out. I always have a pang of guilt. At 40, I'll never know. I'll never fluently speak more than one language. We were just talking about how language is thought, which like I know. Doesn't it seem pretty obvious that if we the more people that spoke multiple languages, kind of like the more generally like mellow and smarter we'd be, because yeah. we would because yeah. that is the practice of switch being able to switch gears.
Yeah, having different perspectives
and have 2 points of cognating. That's a third language I'll make up.
It's also, I think, it also brings people together, I think, because I've noticed whenever you see a movie, the bad guys, when they speak Arabic or whatever, it's rarely translated. It's just like, oh, they're gibberish, they're the other. But I was watching this movie, and this movie with terrorists, and the terrorist spoke, and it was translated. And I was like, whoa, that's weird. And it turns out he was a good guy, actually. So that's like an interesting thing. I think that's it's sort of lack of language divides people. Lack of knowing what the other...
All right, so yeah. Denise, what is your Mother's Day tale for us?
Oh, shit. I was like, great, they forgot about it.
Yeah, great comp trolling, yeah. By the way.
We don't have to. Yeah. We can stick to
no,
this.
No, it's totally fine. I was just like, that's why I was nervous. So,
well, because if you don't want to, I have one more thing I wanted to say about language, actually. Because one of my fascinations is the way people say bow wow wow or cock-a-doodle-doo or how they say bubbles like in different languages.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like words that are kind of onomatopoetic.
You want to know what chickens say in Farsi?
Yeah, like so, what's cock-a-doodle-doo in Farsi? Like what sound
what's
a chicken
the sound
like?
That
really, you're going to make me say it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
What is it?
More than cock-a-doodle-doo?
Yes.
It's going to be cunt-a-doodle-doo.
I'd rather say like...
Coast-a-doodle-coast?
No. It's like... It's so weird.
That's a drunk rooster.
It sounds like
Joan Crawford as a rooster coming into your room at 3 a.m. Moving in as a cow.
It sounds like Barbara Streisand got raped by a camel, and somehow it's just like it's.
Oh, now we're talking.
What a horrible image.
Right,
I guess that's what the hump means. I'm sorry.
That's when there was only one set of hoofs.
No, wait, say it one more time and picture Barbara Streisand again.
Thank you.
Say it one more time.
So do you want to hear about my mom or not?
No, wait. Okay. I want to hear about America's mom, Barbara Streisand. just one more time. Just everyone picture Barbara Streisand in The Guilt Trip with Seth Rogen.
And a camel. Say it again.
Just say it.
What?
Please.
Say it.
Oh, the camel's not into it. That was consensual. We don't want to.
Well, I felt bad for the camel. You know?
Seth Rogen's the camel. He's doing great. All right. So what's your Mother's Day story, Denise?
Okay, so I moved here after high school. And
can
my
I ask
mom,
you one more question?
Yeah, of course.
Sorry. You're Irani and your name's Denise?
Yeah.
Is that are you Christian? Irani Christian?
No, I'm actually, don't hate me. I'm Muslim and Jewish. And I was raised
what?
By... And I was, and you're I was. Like,
this is an option.
It's like a Neapolitan ice cream where the if vanilla and chocolate hated each other.
Yeah, and then I was raised by Germans in Germany, so.
Okay.
Yeah, which is fucked up if you think about it. But so my mom still lives in Germany.
Do your parents have like the house divided and there's like a fight in the?
Yeah, well, Jews sleep in the closet, of course, and. No.
Sorry.
No. No.
Not the attic.
But I called her.
I do, as somebody who is part Jewish, part Muslim, I do think it's interesting that your metaphor for the sound a rooster makes is Barbara Streisand and a camel.
See?
I don't like that camel Muslim connection. What is that?
You're a tan guy with a speech impediment. Shut up.
I'm standing up for the people I resemble, but I'm not of. Sorry. Your mom's story?
I'm not saying the show is long and Farsi, but...
Go ahead, Denise.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I called her and I was like, Mom, you know, thanks for raising me basically on your own and, you know, I love you. And she was like, well, did you think about what's going to happen with me when I'm old? Because you're in America, so if your stepdad dies, like, what the fuck is going to happen with me? I was like, that's a downer. Like, I just called to...
Total bummer. Yeah.
And I just called to say, hey, and, you know, thank you for everything. And she was like... I'm going to die alone because you're my only child and you're over there. That's really...
Denise, you look pathetic. Young enough that I'm allowed to ask how old you are.
No, you're not.
I'm not? Really?
No.
Just that...
No, you're not.
Okay,
I'm not that old, but like I want to be able to lie about it in 5 years.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's very
yeah.
Okay. All right. That's very LA of you.
Yeah.
Banking the lie credit.
But I'm still on the very good side.
I'm 24 now, but I want to be 24 in 5 years.
Exactly. I want to be...
That's pretty...
I'm going to be 26 forever. Yeah.
Oh, so you're 26.
Nice. Well, the reason I wanted to ask is because I'm 40 and I live in constant dread of like I still feel like a baby and my relationship with my parents is emotionally touch and go, meaning like not touch and go like I love them, I hate them, just like I feel like I was supposed to have kids a long time ago, and also now I'm at that era where, according to American tradition, if nothing else, like my parents are What do you do? Do you knock on wood? What am I about to say? This is just I'm explaining a thought in
my
head.
It's going to do whatever the get in the hole does.
I'm sorry if this is just the way your thought works. Okay, please honor my candor. I'm just thinking in my head. I'm 40. My parents are 20 years older than me and more. And aren't they going to start getting sick soon? And when they do, what are my obligations to them? And how is that going to work? Because we don't. Like my family has always been just very reptilian, you know. It's like we it's kind of like, I don't know, like what am I supposed to do? What do I want to do? What
you
am
just
I...
send them money to yeah. be
You'll
able
be fine.
To live through the you know.
But her mom, that was like
well, I can't even visit my mom. If I was you, I'd be flying there just with my own whatever.
Ooh. Yeah.
Where is
I went there.
Is your mom in Iran?
No, she's in Germany.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would argue with you guys at this point, like, well, I'm not that rich, but I now have a fifth season television show, so yeah. I could probably afford some air hoses for the parents.
My mom didn't know what the fuck Mother's Day was 5 years ago, and now she's super offended if I don't call her.
First world problems.
She's super into it now. Super into it.
Super Hindu it.
No, don't clap. Stop. Stop. No, don't clap. Stop it. She's Muslim. We were talking.
Yeah, double down, buddy. You can't make Muslim and Hindu jokes about my parents.
I think you'll find I can and do.
I mean,
that was a real hit and don't.
All right, let's play some D&D, shall we, everybody?
Denise, stay. Denise, please stay. You're going to play Aaron's character. She's at home with a cold. She's
never done D&D before, so you have to explain.
No, I played D&D before. I actually was a drow, so no worries. I just want to know what her character... Everybody that says girls don't play D&D, fuck you and
no,
your
they
mom.
Do. They just they do. It's just like that, that.
Not all suck at it. I'm gonna kick your ass.
It's just that post character generating shopping trip always ends up in.
Adam said, told me to kill your character and rape it.
Jeff's character.
Okay. Oh, his character. Okay. Yeah.
I think aren't we already dead anyway? We almost died last time.
Okay. Great job, Denise.
Okay. Did you hear last week? Did you hear last week's episode, Denise?
I did not. I was at a bat mitzvah.
Well, it ended with all of us being apparently choked to death by a shadow of monsters. Like it, for those of you listening.
Oh, he's going to recap it for us,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
I often do.
Yeah, I have to say, I wasn't here, and miraculously, even though it kept being brought up, nobody fucked my character last week.
We didn't
well,
get to.
Because we were all dying.
I know.
And sex was not on our minds.
It still kind of was.
I sort of floated it. Nobody seemed into it. So I was like, all right.
All right, so yeah, so we were hanging by a thread. Dan, you want to go grab the character sheets, and we'll get this bitch kitty underway?
Yeah, do you have do you bring the music cues back?
Yes, I do. I have the music. Spencer, are you ready to get us up to date?
I'd like to think so.
All right, Spencer, everybody.
After a confusing episode with a possessed Krista Berg and a brief return of Tylenol with codeine, as well as a dangerous brush with a large black gate, our heroes were accosted by a troop of blade-armed horrors. At first, the gang was winning, cutting down two of the shadowy foes in an instant. Soon after, however, the tides of battle shifted and the shadows tried a new tactic, choking out the opponents with their smoky and substantial forms. As combat wore on, two more shadows were defeated, but Mulrain and Sharpie were caught by the limbs, dimming their minds and dulling their senses as it choked them to death. After trying to avoid the grappling shadows, Mulrain fired some arrows wildly before passing out from suffocation. Sharpie slung fiery bolts at the shadows and managed to heal the party with the Soul of Growth, but in the end was also overcome by the shadowy smoke. Two losing consciousness. The remaining shadows squared off against Quark and Chris, who fucked around too much, trying to pull crazy tricks that failed utterly. They, too, were choked out and lost consciousness in short order. The party lie defeated on the floor, and as their unconscious forms were dragged into the black gate by the shadowy assailants, who would know how they would get to their home? Yeah, so I fucked that one up. Can't hit every audio cue.
This podcast is brought to you by
Nabisco. Thank you, Spencer.
Put a cookie on it.
I knew I'd have to fail at
Nabisco, which in Urdu means your mom has a cock.
Yeah.
Nabis is cock. Co is mother. Sometimes that's all there is, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to be said than what's already been said. Sometimes you have a punchline, sometimes you just stop talking.
Yeah. Just pull the ripcord and just let the shoot deploy, yeah. Man.
You guys are on your own.
Exactly. Speaking of on our own, so I'm going to imagine that we need to be told what the hell's going on.
Yeah, you guys aren't even awake yet. It's crazy.
Anyway.
We all blacked out, right?
Yeah, no, you're dead now. Reroll characters. Let's go.
Wait, we're dead?
No. I knew it. I had a feeling this was like in a video game. Like when you have no choice and you just lose all your equipment and someone hits you on the head.
Close, yeah, yeah. Your eyes slowly drift open, a dry burning clawing at your lids and your throat, and your body throbs with pain. You can feel a heavy burden weighing on your neck, shoulders, wrists, ankles, knees, and toes. You look down.
Knees and toes, head, ankles, knees and toes.
I was gonna. What's that in throbbing pain? Our pelvises?
No, the mentioned body parts are weighed down by burdens, which, looking down, you see are in fact shadowy chains binding your arms and legs to those of your adventurer friends, like some sort of chain gang.
So we're all chained together.
Yeah, you're chained to this, you're chained and guarded by multiple, I'd say 9 of these same blade-armed guards. Your chains are bound to a black wall that extends easily about 300 feet tall or more, and creating a huge ring-shaped arena, sort of donut.
Arena?
And you guys are inside this donut, yeah.
And are we all together, or are we in different parts
around
this?
You guys are chained to each other, so you're pretty close. You know, you're maybe in like an 8-foot train.
So we're at the edge of a circular wall that goes 300 feet in the air.
Uh-huh. And it's a donut.
Atop the far walls, you could see tiered steps of ashy stone gray rings, like some sort of amphitheater stadium. Oh. Packed into the stepped rows of gray risers are thousands upon thousands of silhouettes, forming a massive crowd of pulsing, undulating darkness.
I don't like this trope.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
Yeah. I know.
There's a reason it's a trope, Dan.
Because it pits the protagonist in a horrible situation that I'm going to fail at.
Oh, is it going to be Gladiator? Are they going to make us go like Spock against Kirk in this?
Who knows? Who knows? I kill myself instantly.
That's a fair action. Do you want to do that?
No.
Oh.
But if we're going to be in a human centipede at any point, I call the front.
I got middle.
A lot of people don't know second to last is for various biological and toxicological reasons.
It's the same as being on Space Mountain, second
to
last.
They call it the human centipede catbird seat. It actually results in you being pretty healthy after 3 weeks if you get cut loose. Did you see that? There's a human centipede sequel, and there's a guy. The sequel is about a guy who saw human centipede and wants to try it on his own. And then there's a scene where he has everybody in a warehouse, and then he walks out of the room. And I think it's like the first dialogue in the movie. A guy who heard a reference to human centipede goes like, "It's from a movie." Did you see it? The human centipede! He's gonna sew us ass to mouth! And everyone starts going, "Aah!" Like, he's gonna sew us ass to mouth. Like, I wouldn't have an immediate visceral reaction to that the way I would. He's gonna pull out our fingernails or he's gonna eat our livers. He's gonna sew us ass to mouth. I'd be like, wait, what?
But maybe they've seen the first movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the crime, is it's presupposed everyone saw the movie and they're like, "Sew ass to mouth, I heard about that. Oh." It's like the McDonald's Monopoly game.
That's why I didn't like the movie Predators, you know, the new Predator, because they referenced the first movie, not as a movie, but they say, "Oh, you know what he did in that? He covered himself in mud," and that's how...
Like it really happened? Like they read it in the Tribune?
Yeah. They were like, "Remember that happened?" And then Predators, they do the same thing. So these guys can, like, have invisibility cloaks and, like, homing lasers, but they can't figure out... If you cover yourself in mud, they're flabbergasted.
Yeah, they don't have mud.
They should just have, like, a water hose on their shoulders.
They should just outlaw mud.
All right, so what's up, Spence?
Yeah, yeah. So I mentioned there's these 9 guys guarding you. Yeah, I totally did. They're looking into to the center of this donut, and there's even a smaller, like a central raised ring, like a stage, kind of situated in the middle. And you can see hanging above the stage is that massive glowing gray sun that actually caused your shadows to depart in the first place, hanging above the central ring. And chained in the central ring, you can see a guy. It looks a lot like Breffy.
Oh.
Hey, I have to go pee, guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no.
Oh, for real?
What happens?
Like in a meta sense.
That would be a terrible joke if that were a joke. Yeah, no. Go ahead.
No, it's my life. This is my life.
It happens. It's a serious business. Yeah.
We're on our own.
Yeah, there's an old Farsi saying about bladder size.
Yeah.
I only know the English translation.
How does it translate?
His black widow does not catch flies. I didn't want to like follow it through and. Honestly, my relationship with all of you ended that second time I said something that I think deserved a bigger laugh than I got. And I started to think to myself, I'm just going to edit you laughing in. I'm just going to pick something else. I can't remember what it was.
It's called fascism.
Yeah, and I'm going to edit that boo out, that guy that booed me. There's nothing you can do that I can't manipulate and control.
All right, so we're chained together. There's 9 guards.
Yeah, 9 guards.
There's an arena that we're in, and there's a stage in front of us. Yeah. And above it is the glowing sun.
Uh-huh, and below it is a Breffy lookalike.
A Breffy lookalike.
Chained to the arena there.
Remind me of who Breffy was. He was the guy that turned into a...
A wizened old man, very pale with long white hair. You know, rather spindly guy that occasionally turns into a large spidery monster.
I call out and say, "Are you Breffy?"
He can't hear you.
I bet it's like a human form, like if you and I existed in a place where we had to look like spiders, like we would look like the same spider. Did you ever see The Arrival with Charlie Sheen?
No.
He kept seeing Ron Silver everywhere. And then he realized that the aliens only make so many rubber suits.
Ah.
You know, Mattel only issues out so many human costumes.
I yell out, "Have you seen the movie Arrival?"
He can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Are the guards...
In fact, everything's eerily silent. Like, normally, if you're packed in a stadium or something, there'd be some noises, but a case...
Well, it's hard to clap when your hands are shadows.
Tell me about it.
That's Don't the rub fourth it time, face. No laugh! And it's all going in my memoirs.
Are the guards watching us?
The guards, as it happens, are watching the central stage.
Oh, great.
They're looking at this chained man. He looks frightened.
Can I summon the monkey and have him free my shackles?
The monkey summon is only like once per day. I guess you don't know that it's the same day, but you feel as if you can't cast any more spells.
I was passed out. How long was I passed out?
Not 8 hours. Okay. Also, you haven't prepared.
Do we have our inventory with us, or has it all been taken away from us?
That's a great question. Fumbling around, you do notice you have your bags and things with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, crazy.
All seems of like a sudden, misstep.
The mood seems to shift, and you see the Breffy lookalike. He kind of, his neck snaps to the left as if he's suddenly transfixed by something.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Following his gaze, you could see a black shadow streaking across the gray floor of the stadium towards the old gray man.
This is where we watch the guy in front of us.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah.
I said it.
Yeah.
That happens. Do you want to guess what happens next?
Don't punish our savvy. Just
that's
you know.
Exactly what you do in Dungeons & Dragons. You punish metagaming.
Oh.
That's a whole thing.
Well, then I'll just sit here and go like, ooh, wow, what's going to happen? And get rewarded for it?
That's all I've ever wanted.
That path ends with fake brontosauruses. I'll just do what where I'll just go where the heat is.
That's fine. You do you, Dan. You do you.
I'll be good cop, okay? Oh my God, what's gonna happen?
I'm so glad you asked.
I gibber in futile anguish.
I make the Farsi chicken sound.
We gotta figure out how to. We got the time it takes for this breffy guy to die until we figure out what the fuck we're gonna do.
Yeah,
that's why I don't like this. I'm bad at chess. I don't like the pressure.
I use all my barbarian strength to rail against my chains to see if that does anything.
You struggle with all your might, but these chains are even stronger than iron.
Can I ask, as a sidebar, my spell situation? Like, or you know, I was so exhausted before. I only had levels like 1 and 2. I haven't. Nothing's changed about that.
Yeah, you still haven't gotten any spells back.
Holy Toledo!
You notice the chains around Breffy dissolving. If I haven't mentioned that before, and testing his arms and legs, he kind of stretches a little bit as the shadow approaches. You can see the shadow. It kind of looks like a black spider. It's got many limbs, and as it approaches the ring, you see Breffy shapeshift himself. What Breffy look like? He's not Breffy, you guys. Spoilers. Anyway, he turns into a great white spider, and the two clash. Their many black and white limbs and snarling and tangling each other. You can only hear the sound of ripping flesh and tearing limbs from limbs against the dark backdrop, or the quiet backdrop of the, you know, the background. Done with that sentence.
Maybe this fight will be a hit, and they'll push us to mid-season.
It'll get 13 more episodes.
Yeah. The lifeless corpse of the Breffy look-alike falls to the ground, and you can see the black spidery shadow rise up in triumph. And as it happens, the gray sun gives out a brilliant pulse, and then Breffy look-alike is dissolved into light and grows, or it dissolves into light and flows into the black spidery creature. The black spidery creature walks off to the arena in triumph and takes a place in the stands.
What is the?
Oh Jesus! The audience gets to just kill people?
Yeah. What do they do? What is the audience doing now?
The audience is going nuts.
Happy
Mother's Day!
They were quiet. This crowd was a quiet crowd in my narration.
Yeah.
That was very clear.
No, yeah. Well, I'm sure, though, from their perspective, they're doing that. I mean, the crowd, yeah, whatever.
No.
Why am I siding with anyone but you?
What's up, y'all?
Do the shadow shackles react to any kind of light?
Okay, so other than, like, you guys can see in the darkness, there's Sharpie, so he can barely see, but there's not really any light. The only thing that could be considered light
you
is
mean
the pulse
Quark,
of the
right?
sun. Sharpie. Quark has...
I'm human.
Yeah, so you can't see in the dark. Everyone else has, like, low light.
Oh, sorry. I thought
but
sorry.
I'm human, too.
Yeah, but you got the goggles of night, which
that's
let
correct.
You have dark vision, so
okay,
that's why
continue.
That's happening.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
So, yeah, other than the dark sun pulsing, there is no real light, but even that was, like, a dark anti-light. Like a shadow light.
Like instead of spreading light, it spreads darkness.
Yeah. That's also a thing in Dungeons & Dragons.
No, I know. I like it.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Janine Garofalo must be really popular here.
You feel a tug on your chains. And you see the chains have detached from the wall, and now the 9 guards are leading you towards the central ring. And standing.
Oh, maybe they're going to free us.
Yeah, probably.
The show's over?
Like, yeah, it seems like, yeah.
I've never seen a movie
they
or...
They wanted to show us Breffy getting the guy in front of us and killed.
Yeah, we didn't like that guy either. Thanks,
all
guys.
All right. Where'd we park?
Standing in the center of the ring. You didn't really see how they got there, but you see 4 figures, one of which is markedly shorter than the rest.
Okay.
Yeah. You're being
Do you guys
drawn.
Validate? I'm still going with the part. I'm still going with that.
They pull you into the middle of the ring, and you're facing these 4 fellows that look rather familiar.
God, oh, it's us!
They're us. They're our shadow versions of ourselves.
Fuck!
Are they our shadows?
They are.
They're our shadows. We have
are
to fight our own shadows?
Are you fucking kidding me?
God damn it.
Has the reverse
Think of all the tropes.
Do they have goatees? And does my guy have multiple number one hits rather than...
They're more like Sprite-y colors.
It's just a lady in blue. Lady in blue.
It's a cunt in green. They like it over there.
I think it's purple is the opposite color, right? All right. No, not purple. Never mind. Green. Thank
green,
you.
Green, yeah.
Okay, so where are we now?
You're in the center of the ring, facing down your shadow duplicates.
Oh, God.
You see that the guards who dragged you here kind of dispersed, and you're no longer around, but so, you still have bindings around you.
Oh, it makes sense, because Breffy was a spider guy, so now he fought his own version, which was a spider guy.
And he got his ass beat for his troubles.
Murdered.
Luckily, we're not as strong as giant spiders, so these guys aren't going to be that strong. Do they also have a lot of infighting going on and raping each other when we're asleep?
Why don't we just hang back?
They're just bickering.
And watch them do bits until they die.
One of them's a half-Muslim Jewish person.
Why is your shadow taking all of his inventory, tying it into a ball, and throwing it around?
You just keep fucking a football.
Yeah, you're fucking everything, yeah.
You can you feel the chains around you kind of drop off and they dissolve into mist. And as this happens, you feel refreshed as if, you know, like vitality is coursing through you anew.
All right, I'm only going to say this once. Non-conflict resolution. Worth a shot.
Worth a shot.
Worth a shot.
Although we are in an arena with spectators,
This
is probably the situation where that's least going to work. You don't have like baseball games where they're like, you know what? Just hang out tonight.
But it's ourselves.
All right, let's
it's
try.
It's us.
Let's
I mean,
well, do they move like us? Like, do their
they haven't moved since you've seen them.
Well, I will pull out an arrow and see if my shadow moves
it
in the same
move.
Way. It doesn't. Okay.
How do I look?
You look great.
Not bad.
Can I shoot? Can I shoot my shadow in the foot? Oh, I'm sorry.
Aren't we gonna do non-conflict resolution?
I want to communicate. I'm gonna step forward. Holding my hands in a non-violent manner. And I say, guys, you are us. We are you. That means you don't want to do this either. Let's not do it together. And we'll have twice as much a chance as that working. Of that working. You're probably drunk too. A couple articles and prepositions aren't going to bug you. I wait for your answer. Take all the time you want. I step back.
In unison, the four draw their weapons.
You're a fucking dick, Spencer. And you were born a dick and you're going to die a dick. You're vindictive, and you're petty, and this is why people don't like Dungeons & Dragons. They think of nerds as being like these people with all this anger dwelling inside them, that they take it out in these dice and things. Or they you know, maybe we should just go out on a football field and just fuck each other up.
Sharpie?
If that's what you want, if you like pain, if you like discomfort, let's go play football. You know, this is supposed to be about fun. I don't want to die. Is he? Yeah. It's Mother's Day. She loves season 4. If I die, she won't even care. She won't notice. She was quoting lines. I wasn't even there. She won't notice. She only knows I exist because of the fucking television. And she's going like, oh, that was a good one.
This is like, you know how they do puppet therapy?
Episode title.
Hey, you're a druid or whatever. What does your druid's dad think of him?
What part of your body did the magic missile get cast at?
All right, so they've drawn weapons, I guess.
I guess this looks like we're going to have to slug it out, right?
Did you say earlier we felt suddenly rejuvenated, like we were just reset? That was the idea.
Okay, you got your spells back.
Yeah, I was going to finish saying that. But yeah, all of your spells come back and you guys return to full health.
Awesome. So it's going to be a seemingly a fair fight.
Seemingly.
Right.
I should remind you, you guys are still weakened from losing your shadows, which is giving you, you know, ability damage. So.
Oh, these are our shadows that left.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't there when that happened.
I just put it together.
Yeah, these are our shadows.
Yeah. Shit.
Well, so if they win, they get to go hang out with the rest of society in the stands and watch people get ripped to shreds. And if we win, we get to have them hang out underneath us while we eat ice cream. This is a little one-sided.
Yeah, well, it seems like they have.
It's
a
like
lot
we've
more...
entered a world where people, other instead of shadows, are completely disregarded and mistreated.
Yeah. Huh.
In a world invisible to most. That's just deep.
Yep.
We could cut it here if you want.
No.
It is 5 to 10, and
I'm saying. Like, we could launch into combat fresh next time.
Yeah,
it's gonna take a
Denise.
While.
We didn't really put Denise to any use. Denise, do you want to fire the first shot? You want?
Hell yes.
Let's let Denise get at least one.
All right,
well, if I shoot at the shadows, is anybody here gonna take damage from? Are they in some way linked to the shadows? I will shoot two into his.
She points at Quark.
There's no way of knowing for sure.
Okay. I'll shoot two arrows into his shadow.
Yeah.
Fuck? What's going on?
Your shadow, not you.
I'll remind you that you could shoot three arrows as a result of your speedy longbow.
Thank you.
Yeah. So three? Yeah. All right.
Wow. Also, it's Mother's Day, so.
What? Anyway.
You what?
I'm confused sometimes. Okay. Anyway, two of your arrows manage to plant themselves into just the chestal region, but he doesn't seem too bothered. One of them hits him in his exposed shoulder, dealing some damage. Sorry, everybody. 9 damage.
But not to me.
No, to his shadow.
Yeah, so in your face.
She didn't want to hurt you.
She does. She was trying to hurt me.
What if she was prioritizing...
Adam Goldberg told her to kill my
what
character.
What if she was prioritizing the most
right?
effective
That's what
combat?
Iranians do. We infiltrate.
Fuck Adam Goldberg.
That's right. She was prioritizing the most effective combatants.
That's
You're the best
teamwork.
Fighter we have, so she was getting your equipment.
She was saying Adam Goldberg asked her to kill my character, and she was trying to do it.
You go, girl.
I like my interpretation better.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like yours better, too.
At the same time, Shadow Mulrain fires off three arrows, two of which also miss, and one of which plants itself into Chris DeBerg.
What?
Happy Mother's Day.
Dealing 4 damage.
All right. I'm okay with that.
All right.
What do we... Are we going to stop now?
That's up to you guys.
Yeah, let's stop.
First shots have been blown.
Yeah. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
I figured out a new way to end the show.
Yeah?
We review and make sure there's nothing to edit out for real so that we can upload it quicker.
Sounds exhilarating.
What did we say that we wanted to edit out?
The community stuff.
What was it?
We want to yell. We want to edit out that guy actually yelling the N-word.
Wait, someone just someone actually just yelled out the N-word?
Yeah.
Was it a black
Who
guy?
Was it? Who was it?
I'm black. It's okay.
Okay, oh, he's all black. Right.
Wait, get up here. Get up here, for fuck's sake.
All right.
God, just say it for us, would you?
Oh, God, we got a Farsi woman to come up and say the C word.
Yeah.
All right.
What's your name, first of all?
Jason. Say the mic.
Nigger.
All right.
Yay! It's fun. They took it back.
Thanks for coming to Harmontown, everybody. We did it. Let's hear it one more time for Denise. Thank you so much, Denise, for coming up here. Spencer. Kumail Nanjiani. Okay. And everybody else here. Jason. We're going to edit out his name.
Yeah. Well, it was already a fake name, right?
I mean, yeah. That's... One more time for Jason.
Jason Amadeus.
Of Burbank, California. Happy Mother's Day, Jason's mom. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. One more time for your mayor, Dan Harmon, everybody. Say Good night.